Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange. One of the offerings of this year's Oregon Shakespeare Festival is a play called Cambodian Rock Band. The title alone tells you a little. You expect something about music and something about Cambodia. And that could lead to a deep vein of material on either count. A lot of us know Cambodia from Americans fighting there during the Vietnam War, then a subsequent revolution that put a brutal regime in power, a regime that killed up to a third of the country's population. In this hour, we'll visit with the cast and one of the creators of the music of Cambodian Rock Band. The music originates with the band Dengue Fever, and Sinan Williams joins us by phone to talk about that. Sinan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Good morning.
All right. And you just got six pairs of fists raised in the air to say, yeah, he's here. And then in the cast, we have with us Joe Noh, who plays Chum.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah.
We have Moses Villarama, who plays Ted Lang. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
We have Jane Louie, who plays, how do you pronounce the name of your character?
Poe.
And you're also the arranger of the music, is that right?
One of them, yes.
Okay. And we have Abraham Kim is with us, who plays Ron.
Good morning.
Daisuke Tsuji, who plays Doik.
Yep. Hello.
Good to have you here. And finally, Brooke Ishibashi, who plays Neri.
Hi.
Good to have you all here. So since this is about Cambodian Rock Band, why don't we hear a rock band? We'll actually hear a cut of Dengue Fever just to begin to set the scene for the kind of music that is heard both from Dengue Fever and in the musical Cambodian Rock Band. Dengue Fever, and the song is called "Seeing Hands." And Sinan Williams, explain a little bit about the birth of the band.
That's a good start. I'm not sure what the music. Whose music is that, guys?
That was a clip.
That was a clip from the show.
Got that inside out. Sorry.
That's all right. The music sounds great.
yeah. Thanks, Sinan.
"Seeing Hands" is a different song, which I don't think is in the production.
No, it's not. I was trying to get some versions of your stuff in there, too. We got those a little out of order. That's my fault. But
okay.
Tell us a bit about how it is that a band from the L.A. area got into playing Cambodian music, of essentially starting with the scene of the 60s.
I had traveled to Cambodia in the mid-90s and got turned on to this body of psychedelic rock coming out of Cambodia then, which was incredible. And then I traveled to New York, and this compilation cassette tape was going around called Cambodia Rocks that had all of these Sinsisimuth and Rosary Sotia and Pan Ron songs on it. But I didn't know at the time who the artists were. All I knew was it was from Cambodia, and it was from the 60s or early 70s. And then two brothers, Zach Holtzman and Ethan Holtzman, who are old friends of mine, on their own found this same music. And so sometime around 2000-2001, Zach, guitar player in the band, came to me and said they were playing pool in a LA club with a Cambodian man, and he said there's this vibrant music scene in Little Phnom Penh in Long Beach, which is the largest population of Cambodians outside of Cambodia. A lot of war refugees during the Khmer Rouge time settled in L.A., also outside of Boston and Lowell, and a lot also went to France and other places around the world, just basically escaping what was happening in Cambodia during the Khmer Rouge. So this pool player turned these guys on to this vibrant scene in Long Beach, and the two brothers went down there. And a lot of the music was more similar to cantopop, kind of... still playing these old songs, but kind of in a more of a synth way, and this little light off went in their head to maybe try to get one of these singers, and we'll create the vibe and we'll create the music. And so Zach and Ethan got a rehearsal space in Long Beach, and then all of us started going down there and trying out singers. And lucky for us, we found the amazing Chom Nee Mall to front our band. And the idea was really just for a couple of shows for a good time. But then we quickly realized, once we started playing live shows, that this could be a bigger thing. And just one thing led to another, and here we are today. And now there's this amazing play that's incredible. So it's been a long journey that keeps surprising me.
Now, I understand from watching an interview with Lauren Yee, the playwright, that that is actually you guys who provided some inspiration to what became this play.
Well, that's what really shocked me about the play and how she wrote and the whole production and the actors and everything, where I think we're just that. Just we were an inspiration, but what the artistry that happened after that was, I mean, completely mind-blowing to me, and I'm still in awe of the production, the actors, and the story that Lauren Yee imagined. And what was incredible was early on I did a couple of workshops, and I quickly realized how amazing and creative this team is. I almost felt like I was in like a master's program, but everybody beyond the talent of a master's program, and also everyone focused and driving for this common goal to create something meaningful.
All right, so we ended up with this this play that's on stage at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Now, most of you, all but one, I think, were in the cast at South Coast Repertory Theater last year. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brooke, why don't you pick up the story from there? I mean, so how it only ran for like a month last year? Is that right?
Yeah. So we premiered at South Coast Repertory in Costa Mesa, California, and that was our world premiere. And we ran for 3 weeks, so it was kind of quick and dirty. You know, trial by fire. I think we were trying to figure out what the storytelling was in a really condensed period of time. And by the end of that 3 week run, we knew what we had, I think, we had a semblance of, you know, this is the meat and potatoes.
Okay. So we'll talk more about how it turned into a full meal and became what we know now as Cambodian Rock Band. And if the versions are different between South Coast Rep and what's been going on at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival this year, the play runs through October, and we have pretty much the entire cast here. There's one person who's going to do some fill-in work, I understand. We'll get to that in just a bit. Back on the Jefferson Exchange, I talked with more of the folks from the cast of Cambodian Rock Band and Seenan Williams on the phone from Southern California. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are meeting with the people of Cambodian Rock Band, one of the plays of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival during the current season. It's a complicated story on some levels and a simple story on some others, but it involves obviously a Cambodian rock band, Cambodian music, the Khmer Rouge and the brutal regime of repression in the 70s before they were overthrown. And a whole lot of music, obviously, provided by Dengue Fever. Seenan Williams is on the phone to talk about the creation of Dengue Fever and the creation of the music. And then we have pretty much the entire cast here. Joe Noh, Moses Villarama, Jane Louis, Abraham Kim, Daisuke Katsuji, and Brooke Ishibashi. Thank you all for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange. If you have questions for the cast, we actually found enough headphones for all of them. And you can call us and talk to us. Maybe you've seen the play and have some ideas about it. 800-838-3760. By phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we were just talking about how the play got created. Lauren Yee got into the music of Dengue Fever and began to research the Cambodian rock scene of the 1960s. And how would you characterize the music, any of you? Jane, why don't you take this one? Because she's pointing to Joe.
Yeah, because Joe is our ambassador here for the Cambodian knowledge.
Okay, let's talk about the music. Jane, you really should talk about this. But the Cambodian music of the time was essentially a combination of psychedelic music of that era, French New Wave, some Latin beats, and heavily influenced by California surf rock, actually. So if you can imagine that combination of music plus Khmer lyrics, and borrowed, and some borrowed music from United States, like James Taylor and Carole King, that all made this type of music for that time period. And so it was not a monolith, actually. All the music was quite different. If you look at Sin Sisamouth, his music is like croonery Frank Sinatra stuff. But at the end of his career, it was very like go-go fun 70s pop rock.
Since the name got mentioned, why don't we call up that cut from Sin Sisamuth? This is, my Khmer is not very good, but Prus Te Un, or Because of You. So here's a little bit of Sin Sisamuth. So this is some fun stuff. This is some vibrant music. So, but here's where we get into the tragedy element. What happened to that Cambodian music scene? And everybody's pointing at Joe again.
It was essentially eliminated. Most of the artists were taken away during the Khmer Rouge's brutal regime. Artists and intellectuals were targeted first. So, if you're looking at anybody from college professors, highly educated, to even like the mostly educated were taken away. And arts, of course, is in direct contact with with education. And so that was the first thing to go. Artists were pointed out because of their usual activist roots. And many of them were taken away because of that, their connection to that.
I think they knew the power of this music and what it was doing to the entire population. It made them joyful, dance, and gathered them together. And so they took a lot of effort to eliminate it. And a lot of the artists were famously killed in the killing fields.
So they were targeted. It was like, you know, they were like first on the list, or at least high up the list of people who were targeted. You know, this is, of course, represented in the movie The Killing Fields, if people don't know the history that well, which was fairly accurate. And we're talking about some of the characters in Cambodian Rock Band are real people. Comrade Doik is a real person. He's still alive, isn't he?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so why don't we bring in Daisuke Tsuji, who plays Comrade Doik. Tell us about Doik ran a prison.
Yes, he ran the prison S21. He was just the head. According to him, he was just doing his job. He said, I think, that he didn't. He went back and forth. He punched some people sometimes, or sometimes he says, he didn't touch. In the play, I say that, I didn't do any of the killing. And in fact, he only visited the killing fields twice or something like that, and he just couldn't stay. He couldn't, watch, but he was responsible because he was the head of the prison.
Okay, so how do you play? And people have remarked about how charming Comrade Doik can be. So it's an interesting challenge for you as an actor, Daisuke, to be able to play this person who is doing these horrible things,
right,
whether or not he's being ordered to or doing them on his own volition. But at the same time, your figure is quite charming at times in the play.
Right. Seeing it from his point of view, he is just doing his job. And in the play, I just focus on, trying to be free. In the play, I say that I can't sleep, and I'm trying to find peace. And, I have to find some kind of salvation, and maybe part of that is charming the audience. Maybe that's how I'll save myself. And by the end, I'm, in a way, I'm apologizing or just begging for forgiveness, which I don't get ever.
So there is obviously drama in the play, inherent in the story. There's a lot of acting going on, but you guys are musicians as well. So Jane, talk about how the presence and the availability of you guys as both actors and musicians actually affected what Lauren Yee put together with Cambodian Rock Band.
So one of the things is that there's six of us, and I dare say that the four main leads are actor musicians,
mm-hmm.
They are strong, yes, and they're incredible actors who really carry these roles beautifully. And Abe and I are the musician actors, and so that kind of the crossroads of those two things really, I feel like, is a beautiful fit for this, so that we have a balance. And we were given permission from the first production really to, we have this incredible Dengue Fever music and the oldies. But at the same time, we were given permission and were encouraged to be our own sound. Like, we needed to find what the Siklos was. And we, you can't really necessarily direct that because we have our own set of skills in the band. And so Abe, for example, I always say that Abe has a sound. His drumming, I could just can tell without knowing that he's in the band that that's Abe on the drums. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of juice that we want in our own sound. And so over the course of the last production, multiple workshops, and figuring out instrumentation and what you know, I personally can bring what the Moses is playing and Joe's playing and Brooke's particular timbre of her singing has we've really formed like what we sound like and our family. And a lot of times there's a blurry line between the band vibe. We just have to work it out ourselves and look at each other in the band instead of being, you know, having a conductor, because this is not that kind of show. And so over the course of the last 2 years working together, we will sometimes in the show, like, we don't know what happened, but some mistake happened, and then we'll pick each other up, and we've just got each other's backs. And I dare say that we are a band. Yeah. So, and it's really fun.
So swing it over to Abe, because I do want to ask Abraham Kim, I mean, as the other musician/actor instead of the actor musicians that Jane just identified, I mean, is it a different experience for you being on stage in a play, in a more or less fictional setting, but doing what you do really?
Yeah, there are similarities, but more differences, I would say, because I'm keeping in mind that I'm in a theater. It's hard to shake that because, you know, music gigs are different. Music venues are different. Being formed and trained in that. I'm just more nervous. Yeah, all around. I've been drumming for 20 years, but theater, I'm a newbie. So that overtakes me usually. Yeah.
Now, what's it like to play this as often and as long as you're playing? And I don't know how long you've had gigs go on, or whether you have, you know, artist in residency things. But you're talking about playing this set of songs through October.
Yeah, it reminds me of being on the road, minus being on the road. So, we're touring, but we're not going anywhere.
All right, so you're on the road, but staying in one place, right? So
yeah, visiting same every set. Night. Yeah, same set. But,
we are talking to the band members, the cast members. Well, they are band members too, from a Cambodian rock band now on stage at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. That was Abraham Kim. We also have Dice Kate Tsuji, Brooke Ishibashi, Joe Noh, Moses Villarama, and Jane Louis, and of course on the phone, Sinan Williams from Dengue Fever, whose music forms the core musically of Cambodian rock band. Questions and comments from you are welcome on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Scott in Ashland writes, I can't count how many productions I've seen at OSF, but Cambodian rock band ranks among the most memorable ever. The show has everything. Great acting, dramatic intensity, comedy, and it literally rocks, unlike anything I have seen or heard before. Question from Moses Villarama. Before doing this show, did you know you were a rock musician as well as an actor?
Did I know I was a rock musician as well as an actor?
Do you know yet?
No. I guess now I know. You know, actually, I started at a young age playing music. I started as a drummer when I was about 12 years old, and that was kind of my entryway into performance of any kind, was playing in a garage band with my friends and playing for other friends who are around town.
And what instrument do you play on stage?
I play the bass.
Okay, yeah. So you're basically Sinan Williams on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
or playing his parts anyway.
Playing his parts, yeah.
How much did you get to work with Sinan about the music and the approach to it?
Not at all. Aside from just listening to his music, listening to Dengue Fever, not at all. Yeah.
And Sinan, how much were you advising Lauren in the process of creating the play as it was first done at South Coast Rep in Costa Mesa?
Before South Coast Rep, I spent a couple of days with some of the cast and Lauren Berkeley. Was it called Berkeley Rep?
Is that what it was? Berkeley Rep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Berkeley
ground
Rep.
Floor.
Yeah, ground floor, which was. Basically, Lauren was in the early stages of writing the play, and we'd kind of do a table read of the draft the first half of the day, and then she'd go to the hotel and write, and then I'd work with the cast on you know, what music we're going to use and how to play it, you know, and just kind of figure out the vibe. But it is true that the cast found their voice with our music, which is the natural way for it to be and the only way for it to sound, you know, authentically theirs. You know what I mean?
Did you write the new music for the production or did
No, I think primarily they used songs from our repertoire as well as took some suggestions as to what songs would fit the right mood for certain parts of the play. But we weren't writing new material for the play. And then me and Zach went down to South Coast Rep for probably two different week-long sessions, workshopping the play and just kind of honing in the sound and kind of making the cast comfortable with our music. And I think it's beautiful. And I think all the artists there, and it does blow my mind, like someone was talking about acting first, this first, that first. I don't think there's anything first. I think all of this cast is just well-rounded in everything. And also being at workshops, you realize that everyone does have an input, and that's part of Lorne Yee's strength, is being able to take all of this input from the cast, the directors, the dramaturg, like everybody involved, and then, you know, sometimes taking what we thought lacked emotionally and surprising us with these amazing rewrites. So, I don't know. I think it's an honor for me to take part and be a part in what you guys are doing.
Let me have Darnell and Maddie cue up Seeing Hands. I do want to hear a little bit of this clip, and then I have a question after this for your scene. And so let's hear a little bit of Seeing Hands from Dengue Fever. So Seen and Dengue Fever works in two languages. You work in both English and Khmer?
Uh-huh.
And
mostly in Khmer.
Mm-hmm, Khmer, sorry.
Mostly. So, but Nimal also sings some songs in English as well.
And how difficult does it make the creating process? I mean, do you guys speak much Khmer, the English speakers?
It's pretty difficult. You know, we're getting better at it now. You know, we used to write songs in English and then have them translated to Khmer, but the problem is that there's more syllables in Khmer. So we can write out a perfect verse, but there's twice as many syllables in Khmer, so it won't fit into the music. So we've done a lot of trial and error and a lot of different ways of writing. You know, often now, instead of writing a full song, we'll just write a short story in English. And then Nimal speaks English now, where when we first started as a band, she didn't speak English. So that is one process that's made it a lot easier to work now, because we could translate. We wouldn't have to use an outside translator. We could actually translate within the band. So these days we've just been writing short stories, and then Nimal, and we'll work with Nimal translating that into the song, you know, because a short story. So basically, every one of our songs needs half as many lyrics as we would write in English for that same song. So it's a It's definitely a process that we've gotten used to, but you know, it's just part of the process.
So the songs that are done in Cambodian Rock Band on stage, a mixture as well of Khmer and English, or all English, or
It's a mixture. There's Family Business is an English song that's in the production, but
Cement Slippers too.
Cement Slippers too. That's also English, and the rest is Khmer, right? Yeah. The rest is. Yeah,
we do Tooth and Nail in both English and Khmer.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also do our secret song, which is Bob Dylan's Time
Is Joe has a good story about the Bob Dylan song, too.
Oh, let's hear that, Joe.
Well, it's beautiful singing, though. When I've seen the production, Joe, really just, it's a pretty amazing part of the play. It's pretty, that might be the time where I've teared up a bit.
We need to establish one of the main storylines in the play, because it is not all about the present day. It's 2008 and 1978. These are the two times in which it takes place. So, Brooke Ishibashi, if you can describe the father-daughter story at the heart of Cambodian Rock Band.
Yeah, so I play Neri. My father is Chum, played by Joe Noh. And I'm going to Cambodia for the first time. I'm in my late 20s. I'm working with an NGO working to indict Doik, the figure played by Daisuke Tsuji. And my father is coming back to Cambodia for the first time in 30 years. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And he's coming back to, you know, for undisclosed reasons. And so that's where the play and the drama unravels from there. Dad coming back to Cambodia for the first time after 30 years, after the KR years.
Khmer Rouge, mm-hmm. what we're talking about here, yeah.
Correct, to come and find his daughter.
All righty. We'll get back to the story in just a bit. Why don't we roll to the break with, let's run Dengue Fever's Deepest Lake as we get into this break. And so we'll have a little bit of the background music that may or may not be in the actual show, but we're talking about the Cambodian rock band at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Cast members are here. Sinan Williams from Dengue Fever on the phone. Back to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 35. Dengue Fever. It's actually sung in English, Be My Sacrificial Lamb, from the song Cannibal Courtship, from the album Cannibal Courtship. Dengue Fever's music is the heart of what goes on in the Oregon Shakespeare Festival play, Cambodian Rock Band, on stage at the Thomas Theater in Ashland. Through the end of October, we have the entire cast here with us in the studio, and that is Joe Ngo and Moses Villarama, Jane Louie, Abraham Kim, Daisuke Tsuji, and Brooke Ishibashi. And from Dengue Fever, bass player Sinan Williams is on the phone from the Los Angeles area. And if you'd like to join the conversation, if you've seen the play, have thoughts about it, know the history of Cambodia when it became laughingly called the Democratic Republic of Kampuchea during the Khmer Rouge years, you can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Brooke, we were just starting to get into the story. Joe, you play Brooke's father in the play. So this is essentially a making a case for the prosecution of Comrade Doik, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's what the entire history of the play, or the story of the play, is wrapped around, although it quickly dives into what is more important about why we do the play, which is the father-daughter relationship and the connection to the people of the people who were affected by the genocide as opposed to the perpetrators of the genocide.
And so how talk about the dramatic devices here to be able to weave the story of this horrible period in history and the outcomes of it with some fairly upbeat music from this band.
Well, as you come to see the play, one of the big surprises, and I don't think I'm giving too much away, is that I play a character that will at some point in the play travels back in time. Not actually like through some time machine or anything like that.
But you have to be Joe now and Joe then.
Yeah, I play a 50-something-year-old Chum at the beginning of the play. And because his daughter goes missing, Chum then goes into his past in order to tell his daughter what he has never told her. And so that's what we get to see on stage. And so we get to see them as vibrant youths, him and his band, back in the day, making this rock music of the time.
So let's go around the table then and talk mm-hmm. about your characters. Moses, you play Ted Lang?
Yeah. So Ted is part of the 2008 story. He's a modern time character. And Lang is part of the band, the Seeklos, in Cambodian rock band. And he plays the bass in that band.
And are there deep stories on any of the members of the band other than Brooke's character?
There are, but I don't know if I want to give too much away about that right now.
I notice even people who have seen the play or tried to describe it to me being careful not to give away spoilers.
There's there's
a bunch of stuff. This is a top secret, man. This
Yeah, got it right.
You nailed it, Cena. Yeah, we
can. I mean, there are important. There are a lot of really great twists in the story that, if you know, if you're ahead of it, I think might kind of spoil it.
Okay. Yeah. Jane Louie, tell us about Poe.
Yeah, Poe, she wears glasses like I do.
That's a good thing, huh?
And she's the keyboard player and percussion player and yeah, nerdy and big sister type. Yeah.
And Abraham Kim as Rome?
As Room, drummer loves beer, and that's all I'll give away.
So you could be in the Supreme Court someday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, whoops, I got to the realm of the political there. Daisuke Tsuji, we already talked about Comrade Duke, but...
It's Duke.
Duke, sorry. Yeah, I knew I was going to do that at some point today. It is spelled D-U-C-H, so I had to train myself not to say Dutch anyway. But we already talked about the charm, and this guy who wants this weight lifted off of him and wants to be forgiven isn't, ultimately. How much did you look at the actual figure, the real-life figure of Comrade Duke, to get some insight into how to play him on stage?
I did a lot of research, read some books, saw some videos from the trials, and because by the end of it, he was confessing and he was saying, you know, it was all my fault. He was, you know, this play, I imagine it to be finding. It's before that, before finding, blaming the, you know, just. In the play, I say I'm just following orders. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of research.
Is Duke represented in just 1978, or is he also appearing in 2008? Or can you tell us without spoiling?
Yeah, so I can tell you this because it's at the beginning of the play. I start off it's already spoiled, so I think I can say it. I start off as an MC. I'm basically introducing the play, and I say, "Welcome to my show." Part of the story is about exactly whose story it is, because I am pretty adamant that it's my story. But it's a battle of stories. Whose story is it? Is it mine or Chum's? So that's one of the main.
And they're both, Joe's keeping a poker face about whether Chum was the ultimate victor here. Brooke, you are the lead singer in the band, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so did you get a chance to visit with Chamni Mol from
Dengue
Fever?
She's incredible. She's amazing. Sinan and Zach and Nimol were very influential and helpful in teaching us the music, and they came to our opening night and came to our sponsored Khmer family nights, where we had audiences full of Cambodian families and survivors, and they were there rooting us on and came on stage with us and played the encore numbers with us, and Nimol sang, and they've just been so incredible in helping us find our own voice and being inspirations for us. And I remember the first couple of workshops with a few of us and Sinan and Zach, and they taught the boys their guitar and bass lines, and it was incredible learning, going into a new piece and helping to develop a piece with amazing musicians and artists such as the Dengue Fever folks, because it was just an experience like no other. So they've been incredible in helping.
All right, that's enough, Brooke.
We love you.
You're piling it on. So did you guys know when you did the show at South Coast Rep in March of last year that it was, because that's about the time that Shakespeare announces its next season. So did you know then that you were bound for Ashland for this long run?
Yeah, I think when we were opening is when they told us, right? Well,
Right before we opened. Yeah. Well,
but we didn't, we didn't know we were coming.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That was a process in itself, and it's not about like us being offered or not. We just didn't know what it meant to move from LA to here, and so each of us, it was like, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do?
So you had to check in with each other. See if you're
I'll go if you
together.
Go. Uh-huh. Do you want to go?
So in fact, so Moses, your character was played by Raymond Lee. I understand it.
That's right.
South Coast Rep. So you're the one rookie here, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm new to the band, yeah.
As intricate as this show is, both for its dramatic portions and for its mm-hmm. musical parts, I mean, was this a longer rehearsal period than perhaps it might have been otherwise?
No, I think it was actually a little shorter than... I've been working at the festival for the last three seasons, so this is my fourth season now, in this particular time slot. So it actually was about a week shorter, but we did have a music workshop last year when we all knew who was part of the cast. But a lot of it was just work on my own, listening to as much Dengue Fever as I could, mm-hmm. listening to a lot of Cambodian music at the time, and just trying to be prepared before I even stepped into rehearsal.
Give us a sense of the difference then. I mean, playing the character you're playing in a Cambodian rock band versus some of the other stuff you played at the Shakespeare Festival. I mean, anything from, I don't know, talk about some of the other roles you've played. You've probably done some Shakespeare work, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the work that I've done here, I think the majority of it has been classics. Last year I was in Henry V. The closest that I can think of to the feel of Cambodian rock band as far as the sense of family with the cast and the response from the community is Viet Gong. So, and that was in 2016, and that experience was pretty amazing as well. Yeah, but most of the work has been classics.
So I had a question for you, Sinan Williams, and it comes back to the cut we played off of Cannibal Courtship, because the cover of Cannibal Courtship portrays Chamnimol, but also an instrument with two necks, and one is a guitar neck. What's the other one?
It's called a Chapai Dong Vang, and it's an acoustic Cambodian instrument, and it's Zach actually had a luthier, a guitar maker, offered to make Zach an instrument, and so Zach chose to make an electric version of the Chapai Dong Vang. So we call that instrument the Mastodong, kind of, because it's a jazz master mixed with the Chapai Dong Vang, so it's the Mastodong. but what's cool about the Chapai is that it's traditionally a storyteller and kind of a comic musician will mix funny stories with real stories that are going on, and lyrics are highly improvised by the master musicians that play these instruments. So they'll be in an environment and and it's kind of a call and answer with the instrument and singing. And they'll be in an environment, but when they perform, it's always, you know, they might have some set lyrics, but often they'll be commenting on what's going on that week or what's going on in the town or the village or the farm or in the city. So it's a pretty cool instrument because it's also a storytelling device. You know, when Kong Nai is one of the musicians we hung out with in Cambodia when we were visiting there, and he was telling us this story about the instrument and how it's kind of part of the community, and it's kind of like a public speaking, and it's an interesting instrument that way.
Mm. You know, Lauren Yee refers to going down the rabbit hole of Cambodian music when she was beginning to creation that led to Cambodian rock band, and it sounds like it really is a deep hole that when you start to get into the instruments and the genres and all that stuff, you can just go on and on and on.
Well, what's striking about the music is that it's so Cambodian. It takes all of this outside influence, but the vocal melodies and the way it's performed and the way that traditional instruments are mixed in with surf rock and folk music and psychedelic rock and garage rock, it's all mixed in, but there's always distinct, you know, Cambodian melodies and traditional instruments mixed in. So it's really unique in its sound for a lot of that music during that time period. You know, it took the influence, but it didn't wash over the Cambodian vibe, you know.
Abraham Kim, give us a sense of what the audience responses have been like. I mean, you've been in lots of shows over 20 years as a drummer, and what's it like? We talked about your experiences on stage as actor / drummer, but what are you seeing from the audience back at the end of the show every night at Cambodian Rock Band?
That's a great question. I think overall it's positive, but it's heavy, so I think the younger folks, I think they are more open to celebrate more so than the older folks that I think process it. Not deeper. I mean, a human being is a human being, but I think with the formation of and where the older folks have landed, they want time to process it. And I've entered a few conversations where non-Cambodians can relate. This is not just a Cambodian story, but it spreads out, and I think, it's a lot to think about. I think people walk away more so challenged, sometimes feeling guilty, but again, all of those real emotions, and I think this is a lasting story. It doesn't stop after the play.
There's some heavy stuff here. Let's, in fact, Darnell, let's go out with the Sin Sisamuth, because we got enough of it to get us to the end of the show. And as we go out, I just want to ask, does anybody really know? I mean, are there good records about what happened to the likes of Sin Sisamuth? Do we know where some of these artists ended up?
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, this is Sinan.
Okay.
Sin Sisamuth was invited by the Khmer Rouge to return to Phnom Penh when he was in hiding, and he thought... you know, and I'm not 100% about this story, but this is one story I heard. There's a lot of myths going on behind all these artists. But he said, no, they need me in Phnom Penh, and I'm going to go there, and I trust Khmer Rouge. And apparently he returned to Phnom Penh while the Khmer Rouge were in power, and he was never seen again.
Well, that's one of the things we're dealing with here in Cambodian rock band. Sinan Williams from Dengue Fever, thank you so much for joining us. Joe No, Moses Villarama, Jane Louie, Abraham Kim, Daisuke Tsuji, and Brooke Ishibashi, the cast. Thank you all for being here on the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck for the rest of the run.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Bye, Sinan. Bye. Love you.
Nice to meet everybody. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
And that's it for today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Darnell Willison. Our producers are John Baxter and April Ehrlich. And thanks for listening. Enjoy Sin Sisamuth as we go out.